हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे। ओम यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। कृष्णयजुर्वेदीये तैत्तिरीयोपनिषदि द्वितीये अध्याये ब्रह्मानन्दवल्ली नाम्नि द्वितीयोऽध्याये प्रथमोऽनुवाकः। प्रथमः अनुवाकः। ॐ ब्रह्मविदा आप्नोति परम् तदेषाभ्युक्ता सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेद निहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सह ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति तस्माद्वा एतस्मादात्मन आकाशसम्भूतः आकाशाद्वायुः वायोरग्निः अग्नेरापः अद्भ्यः पृथिवी पृथिव्या ओषधयः ओषधेभ्योऽन्नम् अन्नात् पुरुषः स वा एष पुरुषोन्नरसमयः। वाट् वी हेव् अण्डर्स्टुड् earlier through the definitions presented by the Rigmantra is the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahma. The Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. What is Brahma? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. The abstract reality implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of limitless bigness is nothing but pure, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure existence, free from all three possible time, spatial, object limitations. And that reality, being all pervasive, spatially limitless, is there as the very essence, essential nature of every being, every individual. Therefore, it is available for recognition only in the human mind, the human intellect, as the very truth of I, the Swarupam of the knower. And whoever discovers the Swarupam, shifting the identity from anatma to atma, Brahma as Brahma, sees the entire universe of objects being non-separate from oneself. And seeing everything being non-separate from oneself is in fact enjoying all the objects of pleasures simultaneously. This is the benefit of the jnanam. We understood. Now, from this tasmadva etasmad onwards, Upanishad presents the tatastha lakshanam of Brahma, indirect definition of Brahma. The two definitions, direct definition, indirect definition, స్వరూప లక్షణం, తటస్థ లక్షణం. అండ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ది తటస్థ లక్షణం, బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ నాట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ రివీల్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ నేచర్, బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వి హెల్ప్ టు అరైవ్ అట్ వాట్ దట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్, హౌ దట్ బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ యాజ్ ది ఇట్ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంటెడ్ యాజ్ ది కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ది యూనివర్స్. Is Brahman the cause of the universe? No. Brahman is not the cause of the universe. But Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe. But from the standpoint of the universe, definitely there is no cause other than Brahma. Therefore it is said, Tasmadva etasmat brahmanaha akashaha. తస్మాద్వా ఏతస్మాద్ ఆత్మన ఆకాశ సంభూత. అండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ మంత్ర ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఉపనిషత్ ప్రెజెన్స్ దట్ ఆత్మ బీయింగ్ బ్రహ్మ అండ్ బ్రహ్మన్ బీయింగ్ ఆత్మ. ది ఎవ్రీ ఎసెన్షియల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ఎవ్రీ ఇండివిజువల్ బీయింగ్ ఈజ్ nothing but Brahma. Therefore, Brahman and Atma are one and the same. Therefore, Upanishad states, that Brahman, which is this Atma, tasmat etasmat brahmana atmana akasha sambhutaha. The space has come into existence, and from space the air, and from the air fire, and from fire the water, and from water the earth. And from earth, all the plants, and from plants, we actually food. And from food, the physical forms are born. Because specifically, it is mentioned, annarasam purushaha annarasamayaha. Specifically, the birth of, the origination of the human physical form is mentioned there. Okay, we have seen this much in yesterday's class. Let us go ahead with today's class. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akasha sambhutah akashadvayuh vayo vayo ragnih agnerapah vayo ragnih అగ్నేరాపః అభ్యః పృథివీ పృథివ్యా ఓషధయః ఓషధేభ్యోన్నం అన్నాత్ పురుషః సవయేష పురుషోన్నరసమయః. దిస్ మచ్ అలోన్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్డ్ వెన్ సృష్టి ఇస్ డిస్కస్డ్. When you say Srishti is analyzed, creation is analyzed, presented here, it does not talk about the creation of all the beings, of every being come into existence. No. Very briefly, subtle elements originated from Brahma, and subtle elements later on go through the process of grossification. That is not mentioned, it's implied. And from grossified, when the grossification happens, and how from the grossified elements, the physical, the food comes. And from food, the physical forms are born. That is what is briefly mentioned. It means the sow, the entirety of the physical universe, the gross manifestation, ultimately has come into existence from this Brahmatma. That is the idea. From this, what is the lesson we need to understand? Before I enter into the actual Bhasham, this has been discussed already in our Moolam, Moola Grantha Adhyayanam. When we did the Moola, the original text, we explained already. But still, I have to briefly tell you here. When you say Brahman is Jagat Karanam, the whole Jagat is Karyam. If the whole Jagat is Karyam, then the Karyam, what is the Karyam? The effect is something which has a beginning, Yeah, the beginning means it was not there before its manifestation. And it is there, again, it will not be after its destruction, which will means it has a beginning, it has an end. And it has no independent existence. Even when it is existent, it has no independent existence. So it has a beginning, it has an end, which means it was not there before its origination. It will not be there after its destruction, which is just time bound. And in even when it is existent also, it has no independent existence. It is dependent on its cause, Brahma, for its very existence. Therefore, it is not countable as a second reality, a second thing other than Brahma. The whole Jagat is nothing but appearance or the manifestation of Brahma. Because Brahman as the cause is non-separate from this Jagat. Now we always understand the existence of effect is nothing but the existence of the cause. Without the cause, the effect has no independent existence. Therefore, existence enjoyed by the effect is the existence of the cause. So existence of Brahman is the existence of the universe. Therefore, Brahman as the cause obtains in the form of existence of the universe. So every time we experience the universe, we experience any object in the universe, perceive any object in the universe, that object experienced enjoys existence. That existence enjoyed by every object is one and the only existence. The one reality alone is in the form of existence of every object in the world. So the existence associated with the objective universe, including one's body, mind and complex, is nothing but Brahma. So we do not physically separate the existence, but cognitively we can dissociate existence. We can discern and we can understand that existence unassociated with universe. The universe can be reduced to non-separate, non-substantial form, name and function. That existence is the pure existence. But when you are experiencing the existence as existence of many things, existence of the world, existence of every object experienced, existence is experienced as the existence of every object which is existent. But existence without the form, name and function, without being associated with any object, is pure existence. And the pure existence cannot be experienced. It is not available for experience. Existence is abstract, surupam of the abstract reality. Reality is. In what form does the reality is? What's the form of the reality? Formless reality is in the form of existence. Therefore, there's not even a fraction of second. We are not experiencing Brahma. We are always experiencing Brahma. From the time we open our eyes until we fall asleep, we're experiencing Brahma in the form of existence associated with forms, names and functions. Every experience is Brahma. Every experienced object is Brahma. Even experiencer is Brahma. Because the experience of the experiencer, so when the existence enjoyed by the experiencer, existence enjoyed by the experience, existence enjoyed by the experienced world. So there is never a time existence is not experienced. If a Brahma anubhavaha sada astyeva, there's not even a fraction of a second we do not have Brahma anubhavaha. Brahma anubhavaha is always there. As what? In what form? In the form of existence. And when the world is not there, the existence alone is there. There's a time the world becomes unmanifested and resolved, not available for experience. What happens to existence? When the world is not available for experience, when it is resolved, existence, nothing happens to existence. Existence remains as pure existence. Pure existence without the association of the names, forms and functions which constitute the universe. That pure existence also is not available for experience. Just because pure existence is not available for experience, we cannot mistake it for non-existent. The pure existence is available for recognition still, not as existence, but as pure consciousness. The pure consciousness obtaining as the witness, the knower of the deep sleep state of the mind. That pure consciousness obtaining as the witness of the nothingness, blankness of the mind, experiencelessness in the mind, and the knower of the total ignorance in the mind, an experiencer of the sukham, the bliss experienced as a result of total ignorance in the mind in deep sleep state. That experiencer is actually the abstract formless reality, the knower, witness, pure the knowledge, the pure consciousness is pure existence. So pure existence and consciousness are one and the same. They're not two. The pure consciousness alone, when it is manifest as manifest knowledge, is experienced in the form of existence associated with the experienced world. Okay? Therefore, this understanding also has to come when we analyze this srishti, analyze the creation. Through a srishti prakriya, this is what we need to understand. There's never a time Brahman is not experienced. Therefore, it is this pure knowledge alone is manifest as knowledge and is in the form of existence of the whole cosmos. Therefore, the cosmos is non-separate from Brahma. Whether it is manifest, it is non-separate. It's unmanifest also, it is non-separate. The Jagat has never independent existence of its own. It always shines in Brahma. Therefore, the whole Jagat being Mithya, not having its independent existence, is nothing but manifestation of Brahma, appearance of Brahma. Brahman is not anything in the world, anything in the universe. But everything in the universe is Brahma. The whole cosmos is nothing but Brahma. This is the understanding one has to have. We have to say another prakriya also, that adhyarupa apavada prakriya also is added here, that we will see later on. Let us go ahead with the bhashya. Tasmad iti. Are you all following now? Tasmat iti. Mula vakya sutritam brahma paramrishyate. When it is said tasmat, tasmat means what? Tasmat is the fifth case form of the word tad. The third person singular pronoun tad. Meaning that. So tasmat means from that. From that means from what? What does the word that mean? So Shankara Bhagavatpada says here, Mula Vakya Sutritam Brahma. Mula Vakyam means a core statement. What is the core statement here? Brahma Vida Apno Te Param. That's the core statement, Mula Vakyam. there in that Mula Vakyam, by that Mula Vakyam, that for the core statement, Brahma Sutritam Brahma. Brahma, which was just mentioned briefly, Mula Vakya Sutritam Brahma Paramrishyate. Paramrishyate means here, again, quoted, meant by this pronoun Tasmat. From that means from that Brahma. Which Brahma? The absolute reality Brahma, meant briefly by that or in that core statement, Brahma vit paramapnoti. Okay. Now, etasmad iti. Now he is commenting upon the word etasmad. Tasmad va. So tasmad he has explained. Tasmad means from that Brahman, which was introduced in the Mulavakyam. Now, etasmat iti. Etasmat means what? Mantra vakyena anantaram yatha lakshitam. The mantra vakyena. Mantra vakyam means what? We can say satyam jnanam anantam brahma. That is mantra vakyam. Anantaram, later on, the same Brahman, which was defined yatha lakshitam, the same absolute reality Brahman, which was later on defined by the defining statement of Drig Mantra. Mantra vakyena anantram yatha lakshitam. Okay. And what was defined by the mantra vakyam? The satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Then we understand Brahman as what? That Brahma, which was also said to be available for recognition in the Paramavyoma, in the intellect of an individual being. That Brahman alone is again meant by etasmat. So etasmat and tasmat, both the words mean the absolute reality Brahma. But that Brahman, even though truth of the whole cosmos is there everywhere, is always, as the truth of everything, is available for recognition as the nearest self. What is the nearest for everyone? Nearest for yourself is you are the nearest for yourself. Your surupam, isn't it? If you say I, and the content of I is the nearest. Water is the nearest for every wave. Light is the nearest for every opaque thing. Okay, the word I expressed is what? Manifestation of knowledge, obtaining of thought in terms of I am, and that content of I, therefore, is nearest self. So, etasmat iti mantravakyena anantaram yatha lakshitam. So, that Brahman, which is again later on defined by the defining statement of the Rig Mantra, is meant by the word etasmat. So, tasmat and etasmat, though two different pronouns, meaning from that and from this, they both pronouns mean one and the only reality Brahma, obtaining as the nearest self Atma. Okay, yatha lakshitam. Okay. Now, Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to explain further. Yad Brahmadau. No, Yad Brahma, make it carefully. Yad Brahma, that Brahman which alone, Adau, Brahmana Vakyena Sutritam. Yad Brahma, Adau, Brahmana Vakyena Sutritam. That Brahman which alone was briefly mentioned by the pro-statement, Brahmana Vakyam. This Mula Vakyam is a Brahmana Vakyam. Prose statement means what? A statement belonging to Taittiriya Upanishad. Brahma vida apnoti param. That is a prose statement belonging to the prose Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad. Therefore, he says, Yat Brahma adau Brahmana vakyena sutritam. That Brahman, absolute reality, which was briefly mentioned by this prose statement, the core statement of Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahma vida apnoti param. Then, yat cha satyam jnanam anantam brahma iti anantarameva lakshitam. And the same Brahma, which alone was anantarameva later on defined, later defined by the statement of mantra statement. Mantra vakya means the statement of Rig Mantra. Asatyam jnanam anantam brahma. Tasmat etasmat brahmanaha atmanaha. From that Brahman, which alone is this Atma, the nearest self. Tasmat etasmat brahmanaha is equal to brahmanaha atmanaha. From that Brahman, which alone is this Atma. It means Brahman and Atma are one and the same. Already he is showing, Upanishad shows, and also Shankara Bhagavatpada shows very clearly, this Atma is another than that Brahma. That Brahman is this Atma. Because the essential nature of every being is Brahma. Because we understood already, everything in the world, this non-separateness of Brahman from everything because of its nature of all-pervasiveness. We understood yesterday only. So now we cannot have any doubt. Tasmad, etasmad brahmanaha atmanaha. Mean what? Atma shabda vachyat. Tasmad etasmat brahmanaha atmanaha means what? Atma shabda vachyat. That from that Brahman, which alone is meant by the word Atma also. What is meant by the word Brahman alone is meant by the word Atma. Which means what is implied by the word Brahman is implied by the word Atma. So the two different words, okay, the meaning, substance of these two substantives is one and the same reality. Okay. For what? Atmahi. Now, to say the word Atma and Brahman do not mean two different things. They mean one and the same reality. The only difference is the reality looked upon as the truth of the whole is implied by the term Brahma. And the same Brahma being all-pervasive, obtaining as the innermost essence, available for recognition as one's own Swarupam, is implied by the term Atma. So he, and that meaning is presented by another Upanishad statement of the Shruti. So here, from Shankara Bhagavatpada also quotes a statement from Chandogya Upanishad. Atmahi tat sarvasya, atmahi tat sarvasya, tat satyam sa atma, atmahi tat sarvasya, tat satyam sa atma, iti. Shrutyantarat api uchyate. From other Upanishadic statement, Chandogya Upanishad also, we understand the same fact being revealed that Brahmatma, Brahman and Brahman is Atma. This the only absolute reality, Brahman alone is the Atma. The essential nature of every being. For here, when is this mantra quoted in? When is this mantra presented? Where does this mantra come in Chandogya Upanishad? Of course, the number is given here. But still, in which context it was presented? When there is a discussion on what was there originally before the origination of the universe, before the entire universe came into manifestation, what was there? But many people think nothing was there. No. We can never say nothing was there. Before the universe came into manifestation, what was there was only Brahma. Only Sat. Sat means here, the Brahman is implied by the word Sat in terms of its nature of existence. The reality alone was there. Absolute reality alone was there before the universe came into manifestation. And then after this manifestation of the universe, and the Brahman alone is there as the truth of everything. In that context, it is said, Tat sarvasya, tathi sarvasya atma. That Brahman alone, that absolute reality Brahman alone is the self of everything, the truth of everything. Tat satyam, that reality, that Brahman is real, that absolute reality Brahman alone is the Atma. Means Atma and Brahman are not two, the one and the same. This fact is conveyed by all the Upanishads uniformly. Of course, here specifically, Chandogya Upanishad mantra is quoted by Shankara Bhagavatpada. So he says, Atma hi tat sarvasya tat satyam sa atma iti shutyantarat. Shutyantarat api yetadeva satyam jnayate. So this alone, this fact alone is understood. Ataha Brahma Atma. Therefore, what is Brahma? What is Atma? Brahman alone is there as the Atma. Brahma Atma means what? Brahma Eva Atma, Brahma Atma. Which samasa you can make out? Brahma Atma. Now, even though Upanishad briefly mentions, from that Brahman obtaining as this nearest Atma, self, subtle elements came into existence one after the other in keeping with the subtleness of the element. Each element also has its respective gunas. So it is said, tasmat, etasmat, brahmanaha. Atmaswarupat. Tasmat means what? Etasmat brahmanaha atmaswarupat. From that Brahman, which alone is this Atma, which is of the nature of, which is in the form of the essential nature of the self, atmaswarupat means what? From Atma, what is atmaswarupam? The pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, pure awareness. Because the reality is formless, abstract, subtle. And how are we going to talk about it, being not an object? It knows. Reality knows. The word Swarup means what? It is conscious. So being conscious is the nature. Being aware is the nature. Being, the knowing is the nature. Therefore, Atma Swarupam Kim Jnana Swarupat, Chaitanya Swarupat, from that Brahman obtaining as the nearest self, which is of the nature of knowledge, consciousness. Akashaha Sambhutaha. So space has come into existence. It has originated. So, sambhutaha means what? Samutpannaha. See, bhutaha, utpannaha. You know, utta also, sam, ut, two prefixes. Sambhutaha, utpannaha, bhutaha. Sambhutaha, samutpannaha. Has originated, has come into existence. Now, what is Akashaha? Now, he is explaining this. What we have learnt in Tattvabodha is reminded by Shankara Bhagavatpada here in his commentary. Upanishad does not mention all this. Upanishad takes it for granted that we already know all this. Okay? Akasho nama shabda gunaha. Akashaha kaha. Akasho nama shabda gunaha. Shabda gunaha, shabda gunakaha, shabda gunavan. Akasha is that which is endowed with its own unique attribute of sound. The sound which is heard as an object through the power of hearing is actually an attribute belonging to the space. So, and then space is all pervasive. Therefore, avakasha karaha. Avakashaha. In Tamil, please, Tamil people, be careful. Avakashaha means we take a chance, isn't it? So here avakashaha means what? Accommodation. Avakashaha means time, chance, etc. We use in different contents. Here avakashaha means accommodation. Avakasha karaha means, so the space is the maker of accommodation, means space is the accommodator, space lends accommodation for what? Murta dravyanam. Dravyam is a substance. Murtam here means a form. Murta dravyanam avakasha karaha shabda gunaha akashaha. The space which is endowed with its own unique attribute of sound is the accommodator of all substances with forms. Murta dravyanam avakashakaraha akashaha. In fact, simple language you can memorize in the class itself here. Tasmat akashat. And now he's talking about tasmad akashat, from such space, being all pervasive, which accommodates all the substances with forms, and which from that space alone, svena sparsha gunena purvena cha akasha gunena shabdena dvigunaha vayuho sambhotaha iti anuvartate. Now here the creation continues as how vayuho sambhotaha, akashad vayuho sambhotaha. Air has originated, come into existence from this space. But how? Who is vayuho? Dvigunaha vayuho. The vayu having two attributes. That's why vayu is, space is subtler than air because it has only one guna. Vayu is subtle, but still from the standpoint of space, vayu is grosser. Therefore, gross actually. Dvigunaha vayuhu. Dvigunavan vayuhu. Dvigunaha vayuhu. Vayu has two gunas. Why? It said, sparsha, svena sparsha gunena, along with its own unique attribute of touch. Svena sparsha gunena, with its own unique attribute of touch. Purvena akasha gunena cha shabdena. Akasha gunena, purvena akasha gunena shabdena cha. With its own unique attribute of touch, and also with the borrowed attribute of the preceding element space, the sound, vayu is said to be dvigunaha. The vayu comes into existence as the one having two attributes. So vayu has two attributes, its own attribute of sound, touch, And it also has the attribute of sound. That's why when wind blows, zzz, now it comes in. Wind blows when the sound comes. Okay. Vayuhu. Akasha gunena shabdena dvigunaha vayuhu sambhotaha ityanu vartate. Tasmat akashate svena sparsha gunena purvena cha shabdena akasha gunena dvigunaha vayuhu sambhotaha iti anuvartate. Thus it continues, it follows. Vayoscha svena rupa gunena purvabhyamcha trigunaha agnihi sambhotaha. Vayoho agnihi sambhotaha. From vayu, agni has come into existence. How? Svena rupa gunena. So now, as fire has come into existence from vayu, now fire has its own attribute of form, and it has also the other two gunas of the preceding two elements. So fire has three gunas. Now fire is, vayu is subtler than fire, but fire here has three gunas. Trigunaha vayu agni, trigunaha agnihi, trigunaha agnihi, trigunavan agnihi. Its own gunaha is form, its own attribute is form. It has the attributes borrowed from its causes, sound and touch. So fire has sound, touch and form, three attributes. Agnehe svena rasagunena purvaihi cha tribhihi chaturguna apaha sambhotaha. Agnehe svena rasagunena purvaihi cha tribhihi chaturgunaha apaha sambhotaha. From agnehe means from agni, apaha sambhotaha, waters originated. Apaha, waters originated. And these waters are of four attributes. Chaturgunaha apaha. We can say chaturgunavat jalam. Chaturgunam jalam, easy word. Chaturgunaha apaha. The waters with four attributes have originated from the fire. How? Svena rasagunena. What is the unique attribute belonging only to the water? Rasaha, taste. So the water, along with its own unique attribute of taste, purvehi tribihi, and also with other three attributes borrowed from its causes. So sound, touch, form, the water has four gunas. Adbhyaha, adbhyaha, from waters, svena gandha gunena, svena gandha gunena, with its own unique attribute of smell, purvehi chaturbhihi, and also with the attributes of the four other preceding elements, panchaguna prithivi sambhuta, the earth with five attributes has come into existence from waters. See, prithivi happens to be strilinga shabdaha. We say what? Pancha guna prithivi. Trigunaha agnihi. And chaturgunaha apaha. Because apaha is a pulling, strilinga shabda, but still it's a plural word. Chaturgunaha, apaha, waters with four attributes. No, panchaguna prithivi. So prithivi, the earth element, the grossest of all the elements, subtle elements still, okay? The grossest of all subtle elements is prithivi. And this prithivi, with its own unique attribute of smell, so prithivi is always said to be gandhavati prithivi. Prithivi is gandhavati. And so prithivi, with its own unique attribute of smell, with the borrowed attributes of these causes, the preceding four elements is endowed with five attributes. Panchaguna prithivi. Vai purvaihi chaturbhihi svena gandha gunena panchaguna prithivi sambhuta adbhyaha. Okay. Now very clear. Now you can understand. Akashaha yeka gunavan. Now vayuhu dvigunaha or dvigunavan. Agnihi trigunaha. Apaha chaturgunaha. Prithivi panchaguna. In keeping the number of attributes, we understand the grossness of the element. Why space is the subtlest and how earth is the grossest of the elements. So these are the five subtle elements. Now it's understood definitely how this there's a grossification takes place and there is origination of gross elements. And from this earth alone, from earth comes what? Oshadhayaha. So if living beings have to come into existence, before the living beings come, we need what? Food. What comes first? Food. Please don't take the order very seriously. It's Upanishad is not our interest in establishing, oh, which came first, which came later. Just mentions the creation, that's all. Prithivyaha voshadhayaha. Prithivyaha. See, prithivyaha is the panchami rupam, shashti rupam also. So in the context we can make out, it's a fifth case form. Prithivyaha voshadhayaha. So, the entire kingdom of vegetation has come into existence from all the plants. Oshadhihi, oshadhayaha. Have originated from earth. And oshadibhyaha annam. Oshadibhyaha annam. The food, of course, is from the plants. The annat and from food alone, reto rupena parinatat purushaha shirapanyadi akritiman. Now, purushaha has come into existence. See, purushaha literally, we are not talking about the atma here. Purushaha means man, a human being in general, manushyaha. Purushaha ityukte manushyaha. It can be male person or female person. But here again, human physical body. Okay. Purushaha, the human being, it is human form. Shiraf Panyadi Akritiman. Shiraha Pani Adi Akritiman. Akritihi means form, appearance. The one with the appearance, the one with the form is Akritiman. The human being with an appearance, with the form of, form such as head, hands, etc. A human physical form with the hand, head, hands, etc. That Purusha with that form has come into existence. From what? Reto rupena parinatat annat. From the food which has become modified in the form of retas. The sperm. Reto rupena parinatat annat. From the food energy. From the modified form of food in the form of Rajas, the Purusha with the form such as head, hands, etc. originated, come into existence. Savayesha Purushaha Annarasamayaha. Now, Saha Vayeshaha Purushaha. And it is this, okay? The Purushaha, this human physical form, physical body, is what now? Annarasamayaha. See, Annarasamayaha means complete something but modified form of the essence, food essence. Annarasamayaha. Purushaha Annarasamayaha. This human physical body is nothing but the modified form of the food essence. Annarasa Vikaraha. Annarasa, Anna Mayaha means what? Annarasa Vikaraha. See, the word Mayaha, no? The Mayat actually has two meanings. The Mayat means when everything, something is predominantly there, we can say, okay, we can say, Manushyamaya, Manushya, Vrikshamayaha. Means what? Everywhere, wherever you see, predominantly the whole jungle is full of trees, trees, trees everywhere. The garden is filled with Pushpamayaha means what? You can't say everywhere flowers are what? No, predominantly wherever you see in spring of Beckenham Junction Park, I used to go for a walk, everywhere flowers, flowers, flowers. Means lots of flowers means what? Predominantly you can see varieties of beautiful flowers. So we say Pushpamayam, Pushpamayam Udyanam. This is a predominant, the word Mayam, Mayat, okay, used in the sense of predominance. Predominantly you see only flowers. But prachuryarthe api mayat, mayat shabdasya prayogaha. Prachuryartham, prachuryam means what? Actually, completely saturating. Use the sense of saturation also. So, annarasamayaha means what? Annarasa vikaraha. The human physical form is nothing but the modified form of the food essence. Now, abhranam swarnamayam means what? This gold modified form of gold is ornament. So, purusha akriti bhavitam hi. Purusha akriti bhavitam hi. Sarve bhya ange bhya tejaha sambhotam. So, purusha akriti bhavitam hi. Sarvebhya angebhya tejaha sambhutam reto bhubijam. And this retaha means what? Retaha means retas shabda, sakaranta shabda. Retas is what? Retaha. Retaha is nothing but bijam, the seed. The human sperm, human male sperm is what? Bijam is retaha, has come, is formed of, sambhuta means the human sperm is formed of the essence, tejaha, essence. The food is essence, the modified form of essence is what? Energy extracted from all the limbs. Sarvebhyah angebhyah. Purushakriti bhavitam ret bijam. Purushakriti bijam. This be this retis, which alone has the, which has all the essence of all the limbs encoded, stored in it. Tiniest retis, tiniest seed has the essence extracted from all the limbs. Which is a purushakriti bhavitam hi. Sarvebhyaha angebhyaha tejaha sambhutam retaha bijam. That's why from every limb of the human being, it has the essence has been extracted. the energy, the modified form of the food essence has been extracted, and which that alone forms the retas, bijam. Tasmat yaha jayate, tasmat yaha jayate, saha api tatha purushakriti eva syat, purushakriti eva syat. And the one who is born, tasmat yaha jayate, and the one who is born from that sperm, that seed, saha api, he also, that whoever is that which is born from that seed also has what now? Purushakritihi. That also has the same human form. Purushakritihi means what? Same human form. Which means from Purusha Retas, donkey, monkey cannot be there. Understand? From human retas, only human being alone is born. Not any other creature. Purushakritihi eva syat. The human form alone is born from that human seed. Okay. Sarva jatishu jayamananam. Sarva jatishu jayamananam. Janaka akriti niyama darshanat. See, naturally we see what is seen here as it is seen as the understanding that what? Janaka akriti, appearance, the form of the parents. Akriti means appearance, akriti means form. The form of the parents. Janakaha means father, janani means mother. But here, Janaka, the one word can mean what? Both sources of birth. Okay? Janaka Akriti Niyama Darshanat. Always, as it is seen, that the form of parents on the part of all the species which are born, and on the part of all the beings which are born, Sarva jatishu jayamananam janakakriti niyamadarshanat. As it is clearly understood, there's clear understanding of the parental form on the part of beings which are born of all species. From animal seed, for an animal alone is born. From a plant seed, the plant is born. May human seed, human being is born. So in keeping with the nature of the seed of the parents, respective the being is born. That's what is the teaching. Understand here? Now, in this, all living creatures, all living beings, mobile beings, immobile beings, right from the unicellular organisms such as amoeba, paramecium, no virus, anything, plants, the insects, ants, worms, birds, butterflies, all sorts of creatures, all living beings actually are born, come into existence from this seed of their respective parental bodies, and nothing, all the seeds are nothing but modified form of the food essence extracted from all the limbs of the respective parental body. But still specifically, Purushonnarasamayaha, a human being alone is specifically mentioned. The birth of a human being is specifically mentioned here. Therefore, now the question comes. What about the mosquito? What about the ant? What about the elephant? What about the kangaroo? Or what about any living lion or tiger, monkey, donkey, buffalo, cow, all living beings, all the living things, all the living beings, mobile beings, immobile beings, all of them have all physical forms. They have originated from their respective seeds. All seeds are nothing but modified form of the food essence extracted from the all limbs of the respective parental bodies. But why only specifically human being is mentioned in this mantra? If such a question comes, Shankar Bhagavatpada gives an answer. Sarvesham api, sarvesham api, annarasa vikaratve. Sarvesham api annarasa vikaratve. Sarvesham means what? It's implied. Sarvesham shariranam. Sarvesham dehanam. Annarasa vikaratve. When all the physical forms of all living beings have the status of being the modified form of the food essence, and when all beings have the status of having an origin in Brahma, Brahma Vamshyatve, all the living beings, ant also has Brahma Vamshyatvam. Who is the origin of ant? Brahma. Who is the origin of human being? Brahma. Brahman being the absolute, ultimate, only reality. Brahman is the ultimate source of origination of all the living beings. And of course, all the living physical, all the physical forms, physical bodies of all living beings also are nothing but the modified forms of the food essence only. Therefore, still, and also, avisishte. So, sarveshamapi annarasa vikaratve brahma vamshyatve cha avisishte. Avisishte. Visishtam means what? Visishtam means something unique and special. But there is nothing special. Avisishte means common. Avisishte. Kasmat purushaha eva grihyate. Why human physical form alone is taken, mentioned specially here? Sarvesham api anna rasa vikaratve brahma vamshyatve cha avisishte. Three reasons are given. Okay. Kasmat purushaha eva grihyate. Why human being alone is specifically taken and mentioned when all the physical forms of all living beings are common and having Brahman as their origin, and all of them also have the status of being the modifications of the food essence. All living physical forms of all living beings are what? Modified forms of food essence only. All of them have the ultimate source of origination, Brahman as the ultimate source of origination. So all of them are common. With reference to this one thing, all are equal, all are common. That being the case, kasmat purushaha eva grihyate. This sati sattvike sarveshamapi annarasa vikaratve brahma vamshyatve cha avisishte brahma vamshyatve cha kasmat purushaha eva grihyate. The reason is given. Why human being alone is specifically mentioned? Because the whole teaching is for only human beings. So Veda Shastram is for human beings. Vedanta teaching is for human beings. So here he says, Pradhanyat. Kim Karanam? What is the reason? The reason is given. with the fifth case form, is it? Pradhanyat, due to the importance of a human being. Other beings are not important. Of course, other beings are all important. They all deserve reverence. They all deserve to live in the world. And they all have to be revered, given life, shall be, but by a human being. But human being enjoys importance. Pradhanyat, due to the importance, prominence of human being. Now the question is asked, Kim punaha pradhanyam? What is the importance of a human being? And he gives an answer. Okay, before I go to this particular portion, I want to tell you one thing. If you take Bhagavad Pujya Swamiji's Gita Home Study, all of you, most of you have read Bhagavad Gita Home Study here. In the very opening page, the very first page, Pujya Swamiji talks about the animals. Just to differentiate human beings from animals, he discusses about their nature. Let me tell you very briefly there what he implies there. See, human beings, why human beings are superior to other living beings? Human beings alone have the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Other animals do not have this knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. The first qualification. And because human being is endowed with this knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am, his knowledge is partial knowledge. This knowledge of self-existence is a partial knowledge. And because of this, why he knows that he is, but he does not know who he is, what this I am is. The knowledge is partial. Because of this knowledge of self-existence, he is capable of having identity. Human being is capable of having identity. He is able to identify himself as a human being. Whereas animals do not have any self-identity. No animal can say that I am this, okay? There's no knowledge of self-existence, therefore they don't have any identity. Monkey does not say it's a monkey. It does not know it's a monkey. Elephant does not know it's an elephant. We only say this is elephant, this is monkey, this is donkey, etc. Animals don't have self-identity because there's no knowledge of self-existence. Okay? And animals remain steeped in total ignorance. Animals remain steeped in total ignorance means they do not have knowledge of self-existence. Therefore, they're not eligible to discover what they are. They remain steeped in total ignorance. And human being blessed with his partial ignorance, he is capable of converting his partial ignorance into a total knowledge. So partial knowledge into total knowledge. Understand? Human being blessed with partial knowledge of his self-existence, he is capable of converting his partial knowledge into a total knowledge. Ardham jnanam purnam jnanam kartam shaknoti. I know I am, but I do not know what I am. So he is capable of knowing his ignorance. And he is capable of resolving his ignorance also. He is capable of converting his half knowledge into total knowledge. Thereby, he is eligible. He is eligible for accomplishing the ultimate goal of even freedom. because of this knowledge of self-existence alone, he also has what? He is blessed with the free will. Human being alone is blessed with this free will, the unique capacity to choose to do a given action, to choose to refrain from a given action. He has this free will. Whereas animals are programmed to do certain things that they do not have free will. As animals are not blessed with free will, they have no choice. They cannot choose to do a given action. So whatever actions animals do, they're programmed to do their actions. They're governed by their own natural instincts. That's why Swamiji used to say, when an animal, if suppose a goat or buffalo goes and eats the neighbor's garden plants, the neighbor cannot file a case against the animals, but neighbor can file a case against the owners of the animals. Understand? So if a tiger kills and eats a deer in the forest, it does not attract any papam. No punyam papam for animals. Punya papa jnanam is not there. The knowledge of right and wrong is not there for animals. So no free will, no knowledge of right and wrong for animals. Whereas a human being is blessed with this unique free will, and he is also blessed with the knowledge of right and wrong. The basic knowledge of right and wrong. Because a human being is blessed with the knowledge of right and wrong, the willpower, he is capable of accumulating punyam. He is capable of accumulating papam also. While exhausting the punya papam, he is also capable of accumulating further punya papam. Capable of earning. Whereas animals don't have such choice. Other creatures don't have such choice. So because of these reasons, human beings are superior. That is why human beings are capable of deciding, choosing the actions, mundane activities, and also religious sacred activities, and performing them, and accumulating the punya papam, and enjoying the results of punya, results of their actions also. Understand? Therefore, karma jnana adhikaraha. Let's come to the book now. Karma jnana adhikaraha asti manushyasya. Human being, there is importance of a human being because human being alone enjoys the qualification, eligibility in performing actions, even in attaining knowledge. Karmani jnanecha adhikaraha, karma jnana adhikaraha. Saptami tatpurusha samasa. Karmani adhikaraha purushasya asti, jnane purushasya adhikaraha asti. This eligibility on the part of a human being in performing a karma, performing rituals, and also in acquiring knowledge. Now, purushaha eva, sorry, purushe evahi, shaktatvat, arthitvat, aparyudastatvat cha karma jnanayoho adhikriyate. See, purushaha eva adhikriyate. That eva shabdaha emphatically states human being alone is eligible. Adhikaraha noun eligibility, qualification. Adhikriyate eligible, is eligible. Purushah eva adhikriyate, human being alone is eligible. In eligible for attaining jnanam and also for accumulating punyam through the performance of activities. So karma jnana yoho adhikriyate, karma jnana yoho purushah eva adhikriyate. So human being alone is eligible for attaining jnanam and also for accumulating punyam through performance of rituals and also for enjoyment of the results. What are the reasons why human being alone is eligible for performing rituals or activities and attaining jnanam? Why? He says, shaktatvat, indeed, he indeed, shaktatvat, due to the capability. Human being alone enjoys the status of being capable. He alone has capability. What is the capability? In what form? Capability is in the form of being blessed with knowledge of self-existence and being blessed with the free will, being blessed with knowledge of right and wrong. Because of these reasons, he alone is capable. So, purushah eva shaktatvat. Man alone is eligible because of his capability in perform, eligible for performing rituals, activities, mundane and sacred activities, and also for attaining knowledge. One more reason he gives, arthitvat. See, arthitvam, see, human being is an arthi. Arthi is an akaranta pullinga shabdaha. Arthi means one who is craving for, one who is aspiring, one who is craving is, again, aspiring is the best word. One who is aspiring is, an aspirant is, arthi. So, artharthi, one who is aspiring for artha. One who is kamarthi, one who is aspiring for pleasures. Dharmarthi, one who is aspiring for accumulating punyam. Moksharthi, one who is aspiring for moksha. So this aspiration is there only on the part of a human being. Arthitvam. As human being enjoys the status of being an aspirant, are capable of aspiring for many things. Arthitvat aparayudastatvat. Pariyudastatvat. As human being has the status of not giving up his activities. Aparyudastatvat. A human being alone, human being is eligible for performing mundane religious activities, for acquiring punyam, and also for attaining jnanam. And he alone is capable of accumulating papam also. Of course, we don't need to mention papam here because he is capable. Therefore, even Shastra, Veda Shastra itself is there for, as a guide, for helping him to accomplish his goals. Okay. Now it's very clean, isn't it? Why there's importance of a human being? Why, how he alone is eligible? We understood here. Shaktatvat, Arthitvat, Aparyudastatvat. Pariyudastatvam means execution. As he is the one who does not give up and one who is capable of executing, implementing his knowledge, and he is eligible. Purushe tu yeva. Now Shankara Bhagavatpada explains further. You have to show the uniqueness of human being. That is why manusheshu narajanma durlabham. It's very, very rare, very unique to get a human form. Isn't it? Very difficult. And once you got a human form, human birth, they're very precious. Aridu aridu manidarai prattal aridu. It is said in Tamil. It's very, very precious to assume, to be born in this world assuming a human form. The human span of life, time is very precious. We can't afford to waste. Don't need to get very serious, but still can enjoy the life. At the same time, making use of every fraction of second, you know, for something useful and contributive and constructive for the betterment of ourselves and the world. So, Purushe tu eva avistaram. Purushe tu eva avistaram atma. The very nice word, avistaram. Purushe tu eva, only in human being, only on the part of human being, only in a human being, avistaram atma. Atma avistaram means what? There is a highest form of manifestation of atma. Highest form of manifestation of knowledge is only in human being. Now, what the highest form of manifestation of atma? The knowledge of existence of one's own self. There's no higher form of manifestation of consciousness. The highest form of manifestation of consciousness only in human being. In terms of the knowledge of existence of one's own self. In terms of I am. And this highest form of manifestation of knowledge alone is said to be what? The bright manifestation . Therefore, a human being alone is also eligible, capable of having the total manifestation of knowledge in terms of knowing who I am. When a human being knows, discovers who he is, what his essential nature is, and what will be the jnana knowledge, aham brahma asmi, I, the self, am brahma. When he discovers that knowledge is what? Total purnam jnanam, manifestation of total knowledge. Therefore, avistaram purushe evatu avistaram atma. So human being alone has the highest form of bright, exalted form of manifestation of knowledge, the consciousness. Is there manifestation of knowledge in other living beings? Of course. Even to be a living being, there must be manifestation of knowledge. It can be ant, amoeba or paramecium, a virus, you know, any cell, or a huge cellular organism like elephant or anything. Every living, a plant or a seed, every living being is a being having the manifestation of knowledge. If there's manifestation of knowledge, then that's a living, there's a living being. A being without the manifestation of knowledge is what? Inert thing. That's all inanimate beings, the non-living things, are also pervaded by consciousness in and through, but in them, knowledge is not manifest. Because knowledge is, even though not consciousness, the reality in terms of knowledge pervades all the living beings, still in non-living things, knowledge is not recognizable because it is not manifest. They are inert beings. In spite of being pervaded by knowledge, they are inert. Why? Knowledge is not manifest. Because there is no sukshma in those non-living things. Whereas in all the living beings, reality is recognizable in the form of knowledge. Because knowledge is manifest, knowledge is recognizable in living beings. Because knowledge is recognizable in knowledge, recognizable in all the living beings, we said consciousness is there in living beings. We think consciousness is not there in non-living things. That's not true. Consciousness is all pervasive. In living beings, it is recognizable because of its manifestation. In non-living things, it is not recognizable because it is not manifest. Because there's no sukshma. Okay. This is a side note, okay? It's not an important lesson here. But still, I have to tell you this. Now, even though consciousness is manifest in all living beings, but the highest form of manifestation, the exalted form of manifestation of consciousness, the bright form of manifestation of consciousness is only in a human being. Avistaram purushetu eva avistaram. Purusheva atma avistaram. Okay. Next sentence. Sahi prajnanena sampanna tamaha. Prajnanena sampanna tamaha. See, prajnanam literally means consciousness, but here prajnanena means prakrishtam jnanam. Prakrishtam jnanam is prajnanam. What is prajnanam here? Sampanna tamaha. Sampat means wealth. Sampannaha, endowed with the wealth. Sampanna taraha, endowed with the greater wealth. Endowed with the greatest wealth. Sampanna tamaha. So human being alone has the utmost wealth in terms of the capacity to discern. Prajnanam is the intellectual capacity, the discerning capacity is prajnanam here. The human being is blessed with the tremendous wealth of this capacity, discerning capacity, discriminative power. Therefore, what? Vijnatam vadati. Human being is capable, not only he is capable of knowing what is, he is capable of talking about it. Vijnatam vadati. So he is capable of describing, explaining, communicating what he has understood, what he has known. Vijnatam vadati. Pashyati. Pashyati. And he closely sees. He closely perceives. thereby he perceives and he enjoys experiences. Shvastanam Veda. Then Pashyati Veda. He observes, sees, understands, and he also knows. Knows means what? He's capable of deciding, judging how they are, what they are, etc. Then Shvastanam Veda. Shvastanam Veda means he's capable of thinking of the future, planning for future. Shvastanam Veda. So which animal is worried about having bank balance, saving for the future, life insurance? No. Shvastanam Veda, isn't it? Medical insurance, life insurance, that insurance, only human behavior. That's why Shvastanam Veda means he is capable of planning for events, the future events. Shvastanam Veda. Loka Lokau. Shvastanam Veda, Loka Lokav Veda. Here, Loka Lokaha simply means the world. But here, as per the explanations of commentators, no? The Tikakaras who write commentary on Shankar Bhagavatpada's commentary, they take this Loka Lokav as means and ends. Loka Lokav means and ends. They have, human beings have knowledge of means and they have knowledge of ends also. What is the end which should be attained and for what purpose and what's the means of attaining that end also. They have the general knowledge of all forms of means and ends. Not only that, evam in this manner, martyena amritam ipsati. Martyena amritam ipsati. Making use of this finite, time-bound, mortal body, mind, sense complex. Martyam means mortal. Mortal means what? Subject to death and subject to change, subject to time. So, martyena, making with the help of, making use of the available, time-bound, mortal, changing, material, body, mind, sense complex. Making use of all the mortal means, time-bound means, finite means in this world, ultimately, amritam ipsati. He is desirous of accomplishing the immortality, timeless goal. Ipsati, amritam ipsati. So, don't take human being for granted, okay? He's very special. Whole teaching is for him. Evam sampannaha. This is what a human being is blessed with. This is how a human being is endowed with this wealth of discerning capacity. Atha. Itaresham pashunam. Now he says. Atha then. What about other living beings? Itaresham pashunam. Pashuhu means an animal. Okay. Itaresham pashunam. Ashanaya pipase yeva abhivijnanam. Asanaya pipasa. Two feminine gender words. Ashanaya means hunger. Pipasa means thirst. Anyesham pashu, itaresham pashunam. Other than human beings, the rest of the living creatures, living beings, in terms of animals, have only abhivijnanam, have only what? Knowledge of hunger and thirst. They're all blessed with the knowledge of their hunger, knowledge of their thirst, They're blessed with a very, very limited knowledge of how to survive in the world. That's why Puja Swamiji used to say beautifully, no creature in the world needs any tutorial, any, you know, school to learn how to live their lives. No bird needs to be taught how to live its bird's life, to build its nest, to yield eggs, to protect its offspring. No animal needs to be taught. No calf needs to be taught how to drink its milk from its mother's udder. No, how to live its life. Every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. The frog is blessed with the frog knowledge to live its frog's life. So they are independent. So using their limited knowledge and using their instinct caused actions, they live, they eat, they drink, they reproduce, they grow adult, they die. That's all. There's no greater goals for animals. So, itaresham pashunam, all the rest of the animals other than human beings have this knowledge of only hunger and thirst. Ashanaya pipasa. In dual, ashanaya pipase eva abhivijnanam itaresham pashunam. Abhivijnanam means what? They're all blessed with adequate knowledge for taking care of their needs in terms of hunger and thirst. Ityadi shutyantara darshanat. Okay, the whole mantra here, what you read now, purushetu eva avistaram atma sahi prajnanena sampannatamaha vijnatam vadati vijnatam pashyati veda shvastanam veda shvastanam veda lokalokau martyena amritam ipsati iti evam sampannaha atha itaresham pashunam ashanaya pipaseyeva abhivijnanam. This whole paragraph, this whole thing is a mantra. From where? Aitareya Aranyakam. This is from Aitareya Aranyakam of Rigveda. And somehow, this mantra quoted by Shankara Bhagavatpada from Aitreya Aranyakam is an important mantra. Why? The mantra beautifully distinguishes human beings from other animals. But Puja Swamiji makes it very clear for us in his explanations. Otherwise, we will not really see that way. So you must have identity. At least you have wrong identity. So you suffer. Therefore, able to know the reason for your suffering and are able to correct your identity. Error in your identity. Thereby are eligible to have right identity also. So animals have no identity at all. Non-identity. Therefore, there's no way of having any right identity. This is the lesson here. This is the last line. With this, the mantra, Shankara Bhagavatpada concludes his commentary on the first section with this mantra from Aitreya Aranyakam. What have we understood now? Purusho purushonnarasamayaha. Why human physical form alone is specifically taken and mentioned here? Why not other physical forms? The human physical form is mentioned means all other physical forms are mentioned as it were. But here the whole teaching happens to be presented for a human being. For him to be relieved of the worldly afflictions, he is specifically brought to, he is alone is taken here. He alone is mentioned here. And even here already the teaching begins. How the physical body is nothing but modified form of the food essence. They're going to analyze when you're going to analyze the physical body alone as the first layer of personality, as a first kosha, we're going to see later on. We understand it better. It's all for enhancement of our clarity so that we will be able to gradually shift the identity from this garga's physical body. Okay. So cognitive shift has to happen for which the teaching begins right from here. Okay. Now what is Srishti Prakriya? The Srishti has been analyzed now. What is Srishti Prakriya? What is that lesson we have to learn from this Srishti Prakriya, etc.? We will see soon. Okay. In the next class, I have to say a few things. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. We have yet to understand the significance of Srishti. We will discuss it next class before we enter into the next portion of the Upanishad.